Today's reading comes from Matthew 7, chapters 13 to 29. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from the thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and it beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes.
For your continuing grace, our Lord and our God, manifested in your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you our thanks. May the blessing of our worship be pleasing and acceptable to you. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing to you, our Lord and our God, both this day and forevermore, we pray. Amen. We come to the end of the season of Lent, almost, and have travelled through the Sermon on the Mount over the last 5-6 weeks. One of the most powerful teachings that if you can implement it in your life well enough, the world would be converted within a day. But it is difficult, it is hard, it is robust teaching. And any time you turn a corner and think you've got it made, you read another passage, you need to read another word of Jesus, and you think, I have so far to go. For the gate is narrow and the path is hard. Brian McLaren, in his book, We Make the Road by Walking, titles his chapter on this particular passage, The Choice is Yours. The choice is yours on how you respond to what Jesus teaches, which is great because it means it's nobody else's choice. It's all up to you, nobody else. As all great football coaches say after a game, at the end of the day, the choice is yours. At the end of this day, the choice will have been yours. It will come down to whether or not you and I keep listening to Jesus' words. Not just the bits we like, not just the nice, warm, comfortable bits, but the entirety of what Jesus says. We have to keep adapting our course because we get a little lost on the path. We go off and make our own little track. We divert, or we find our attention gets distracted, and before long we've headed down somewhere and we think, how did I get here when I was going there? We keep adapting our course. Everybody does. So the good news is today, you're not alone when you make a mistake. When you, what we call sin, is sin, such one of those difficult words, it's used so often and covers a multitude of sins. Sorry, where else would you go? You use whatever language you like, whenever it is that you deviate from the path that Jesus calls you to follow. What Jesus calls you to follow. Ignore me. I'm superfluous. The task is to follow Jesus. And Jesus, 100% of the time, always points to God. Jesus doesn't want you following Jesus for Jesus, but following Jesus for God. So we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the longest uninterrupted pieces of teaching we have in Scripture from Jesus. We begin with the Beatitudes and words on anger and prayer and generosity and humility. Am I coming through? Yep, good. Being faithful in all our relationships, especially with God. Being salt and light and having your life shaped by a whole forgiveness economy. Brian McLaren's words. And today we keep awake to the narrow way. We're to keep awake to people who deceive us, because there's plenty of them, both within the church and outside the church. We keep awake to the fruit that people would bear, good and bad. We keep awake to the foundations. We keep awake, so that you can keep following Jesus. And as at the end of the day, as much as we can keep assisting one another, as it says in Galatians, you know, we bear our own loads, but we carry each other's burdens. As much as we can be an obstacle in someone's path, you might as well get used to the fact, sometime in your life, if not at least today, you're going to be an obstacle. You're going to be a rock. You're going to be a pain. Some of us do pain much better than others. But we all do it. The choice is yours. There are two aspects to this choice being yours that I want to draw attention to today. There are two aspects that I try to remember. They're not the only aspects. There are always more. And feel free at the end of the sermon today just to say, well, that was absolutely unhelpful, Anthony. I'm going to ignore your words and I'll say blessings upon you. I take no offense. Firstly, we need to pay attention to what lies beneath. It's no good looking at the surface material. It only tells you so much of the story. It's good to be nice, it's good to be kind, it's good to be encouraging. But we have all known, if not been, those people who are good and encouraging and nice, but have devious intentions. And it's easy to point and say, everybody else does it. But there are times when we ourselves do good things to manipulate other people. We come up with good Christian language to do that, of course. It's like saying we speak the truth in love. You're an idiot. We don't. Jesus says to all who will listen, keep awake, keep watching, and see what eventuates. Is this prophet, preacher, pastor, teacher, are they trying to deceive you? It's up to you. Because they may well be. And if they are, be aware of them. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. All they're doing is looking to rip your heart out. And then Jesus mixes his metaphors, which apparently you can do, and says, beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing because their fruit will tell you what they're like. Good fruit, bad fruit. So I want to tell a story. There is a water stain in the carpet outside the chapel doors. If you'd like, I'll set up a little viewing section. We can sell tickets. But there is a water stain outside the chapel doors. And if you weren't aware of it, you would have been aware of it some years ago, because the water stain grew to quite considerable distance, almost across the hallway. And for some years, it didn't appear at first, but for some years, this water stain just kept growing. Every winter, we knew it was a winter thing, because it grew every winter. In fact, it was such a great water stain that we started our own investment portfolio and grew mushrooms there. We're not quite sure if they're the noxious kind or... We had things checking the walls, we were on the roof, we were checking for leaks absolutely everywhere. Was the rain coming in at a particular angle? Was it just on windy days? We had no idea, but this water stain just kept growing. We would dry it, it would go, great summer, and then when next winter it came. We had no idea where this water stain went. It was driving Jan batty, it was driving me mad, and Ruth and I were looking at it every day saying, how on earth do we dry this water? We have no idea where it's coming from. So, this tickle your fancy, Andrew. Because underneath the sound desk, there is a big hole. That's why it's up. And underneath the sound desk, where there's this big hole, are some pipes that are open. And those pipes lead outside, where they're uncapped. And every winter, the rain falls, the water rises, and goes out, up the pipes, into the soil, and we have a damp carpet. There's no more mushrooms in the hallway. So the pipes have been capped. What was really funny is that someone saw the capped pipes, saw that the path was itself getting flooded, and took the caps off. And let all the water drain into the pipes because they thought the pipes went out, not knowing the pipes went in. It all happens underneath. For years, we did not know. Despite all our good intentions, despite being aware what was happening underneath our feet as it rained, we did not know. Until, for whatever reason, someone looked underneath. Someone looked at the heart of the matter and found out what was going on. That's what it's like. We think, you and I, that we're trying to be good people. And we think that good people are all, and we mostly are. But there are times that what happens in here is not what's happening on the exterior. And there are pipes that lead and flood out our good intentions. And Jesus says, you've got to know what your pipes, don't take that the wrong way, what pipe work is going on inside you. I'm not talking medically now. And it's your responsibility. It's not mine. It's not your husband's or your wife's or your best friend's or your parents even or your children. It's up to you to know not only your motives, the one that presents himself as a sheep in wolf clothing, or a good tree that actually is a bad tree because it grows bad fruit, or the foundations of a house that get washed away because it's built on sand. What lies beneath is as much of an issue for Jesus as what is presented. And so it's great when people say, you're a really kind person. But what lies beneath? It's great that you're loving and generous, but what lies beneath is just as important, says Jesus. Because anybody can say, Lord, Lord, and at the end of the day, Jesus say, I never knew you, because you didn't do the work of what lies beneath. See, it's not pleasant teaching, is it? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Jesus also says, yeah, check your groundwork. No one's written a song about that, though. The second aspect follows on from our conversation from last week. What does it mean for you to follow Jesus? We had some really good answers that were given. And we can start out by finding that one thing that really resonates for us. We all remember potentially that moment when the love of God made sense, became real. And we might have words like, God loves me. We might say that Jesus died for my sins as a beginning. And I know what that means. We might say that I let go of my anger was what it means to follow Jesus. Or we might, you know, Jesus' way is just. If we've read the scripture and Jesus' way is just, we might just simply say, I feel like I belong and I'm worthy of Jesus' love. That's a starting place. Read through Matthew's gospel. It doesn't stop there. As we walk with Jesus, we grow in our discipleship. That's the whole intent. Grow. Not mushrooms. Good fruit. I many, many years ago now, began at Stirling Theological College, Churches of Christ Theological College, sorry, back in the good old days. And I remember going to my first few classes, BN 101, which is the introduction to the New Testament. And I had this, did some, this is later in life I realized this, I did some work on my pipes. And I discovered that I actually thought I knew more than I actually did. Dad being a minister, ministers being through my family, I've been in church in some way, shape or form all my life. So I was going into theological college with a fairly robust sense of what I knew about ministry, about God, about the Bible. I thought I'd learned some stuff, but wow. Just wow. 26 plus years later, I find myself still amazed by how little I know. Not only about God, but about the Bible and about the research and about the history and about church dynamics and about pastoral care and about spirituality. As they say, the older you get, the less you know. And if you know your pipes, the older you get, the more you realize, the less you know. The starting place for me, I was a blessing, a bane, I don't know, but I grew up in the church. I was fortunate. I raised in a household where Mum and Dad loved us. They raised us in the church. They raised us in what we would call Christian traditions. Bane or blessing, I don't know. I'm not complaining. But so much to know and so much to grow in. If we say that following Jesus means, I'm just going to do unto others as I want them to do unto me, that's a part of it. It's not the whole story, though. We start with following Jesus, and sometimes we get it wrong. We make mistakes. We get up and go again, because there's always more to know. You know, as that beautiful song of We Are Carried, being forgiven means we're going to make mistakes, but we get up the next day and go again. We make mistakes, we get it wrong, we misunderstand what Jesus is saying, we get up and go again. There's a story about a monk was asked one day, what do you do in the monastery all day? Like, you're in there, what are you doing? And he says, we fall and we rise, and we fall and we rise, and we fall and we rise. That's what it is to follow Jesus. It's not, I have learned, getting it right. I still want to get everything right. I still have things in me that I want to meet by following Jesus. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Learn. Learn is what being a disciple is about. It is to keep learning. And if we are to be those who are following Jesus, if we are to be disciples of Jesus and follow the Sermon on the Mount, it is to keep learning. So when you've read the Sermon on the Mount and got that all tucked away, when you've entered through the narrow gate and following the hard path, then read the rest of the gospel. Discover the parables of Jesus, discover the rest of the teaching, and then we discover, as Kay so graciously led us to, we discover a Saviour who's crucified. And Jesus says, follow me here. Follow me to the gate. Follow me to the garden. Follow me to grief. We discover a Jesus who was resurrected. And that's a whole new world. We keep following. We keep following. So we get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and the choice is yours. If you've become a Christian many years ago and think you've done it, congratulations, you've reached the first step of 1,000. If you've been in the church all your life and think you've made it, congratulations, that's the second step of 1,000. If you've been a very good person all your life, much kudos to you, that's the third step, congratulations, there's another 997 to go. Maybe more. You know, we keep learning. We keep following. And the choice is yours. It's not up to me. If it was, we would be a very different place, full of rules and restrictions and guidelines that meet my demands, because I know what I'm talking about and you don't. Thank you. That's a joke. Just making sure, Blake, will you understand? Make sure everybody understands that. Because it's not up to me. It isn't up to me. It's not up to one of us. It's up to all of us to keep following. Which is one of the great things, isn't it? Because then we'll all do it in our own way. However, as I read somebody this week who says, a church that is at least provisionally, demonstrating the reality of the reign of God in the world will be a gathering of people who seek to deepen their relationship with Christ, and who, transformed by that relationship, in a way of being transformed, engage others both within the church and beyond it in the world in ways that make real God's just will for all. Read it again. A church that is, at least provisionally, demonstrating the reality of the reign of God in the world will be a gathering of people who seek to deepen their relationship with Christ and who, transformed by that relationship, engage others both within the church and outside in the world in ways that make real God's just will for all. Wow, we're not there yet. So we keep going. We rise and we fall. We rise and we fall. And we keep making the choice.